music.
It's like point of view. Get with the point times. Of view is another one. Man, if you've been on Instagram,
oh my gosh.
If you've been on Instagram or
I understand this.
I don't know what other platforms there are. I only know Instagram, but they have all these videos where you say, "Oh, point of view of like golfing with someone," and it's not even their point of view. Yes. It's them filming a third person point of view of them golfing with someone.
I think I've seen one true POV video, and I sent it to you because I was like, "Zeke will appreciate
this." Yeah, I sent you one back.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get started. Yeah. We've talked about some random stuff enough. Welcome to the podcast. We haven't got a name for it yet, and that's why we've called it The Podcast. I'm Zeke.
I'm April.
And this all started from this one time I was sitting in the food court, mm-hmm. and I was just having a chat with my mate about, I don't know, something astronomy related. And we had no idea, but we had a great time chatting. And I think we had a couple of mates who were sitting nearby, and they had a great time listening as well.
Cool.
And I always just thought, hey, if we get this on mic one day, that'd be fun. But I mean, it wasn't you. it was another mate. But I thought you're a good mate. You thought
thanks, man.
You're a good mate to do it with. And we've just started a new series at church, the Work series. Mm-hmm. And there was so much content to cover. And I just thought it's very, very hard to get it all just through sermons, or not everyone listens to it well through sermons. And maybe doing a video would be helpful as well. But I thought, hey, podcast is all the rage right now. We're about 5 years late. But it's all the rage right now. Yeah. Let's get in. Maybe we can entertain some people on their drive home. Hopefully. Or walking their dog, or I don't know, something like that. But the aim is, I just want to put it out there, we're not trying to be completely correct about everything. We're just trying to get some discussion going.
Have a chat.
Yeah, because I mean, work relates to everyone, mm-hmm. right? But we all have thoughts about it, but how often do we actually chat about it?
Yeah, totally.
So maybe you listen to this, you go, yeah, that's me. It's generate some thoughts, and that's good. But I mean, yeah, let's just have a listen. If you like it, you keep listening. If you don't like it, you can turn it off right now. Give us a chance. Give us a shot. But that's the benefit of technology these days. You can just turn it off.
That's true.
Right? I don't want to get into that as well.
It's so brutal.
No, but back in the past, I was going to say you had to listen through radio, but you didn't.
You could turn it off.
Yeah.
But I think now the options are, it's like easier to go to another option.
You can skip 10 seconds.
Yeah. You can watch 2x speed, which is what I do sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
Look,
to the
I don't
voice,
know.
To the nuance, the tone of the speaker.
Sometimes when there's like a 1 hour video and I'm like, look, interesting, but not that interesting.
Yeah.
Or like on a TikTok when it's like story time and you're like, I just want you to get to it. Like I don't need the...
But how do you know you're going to miss it?
No, I'm listening 2x.
Oh, yeah.
2x speed. I'm not skipping. I'm like still listening, but it's just double speed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's fair. Anyway, yeah, so the first podcast, the pilot, the inaugural.
Yes.
The pioneer.
Yes.
The...
Go on.
Alpha. I said the first.
You said the most basic version.
I don't know. Maybe I missed it. Because sometimes it's in my mind, but I don't say it. But anyway, yeah, so this is going to be on Thursday morning. That's mm-hmm. when we're planning to release these every week. So that's you'll hear the recording of the sermon on Mondays. That comes out if you're not there on church. And then Thursdays, this will come out with us having a chat about it. But I preached the first sermon, and I have to say, it was a very hard sermon to preach. There was just a lot of stuff to cover.
I thought you were going to say, I did a great job.
No, I did not think I did a great job at all. Because I can list all the points where I thought I failed and did really miserably on it. And then, you know, people said, oh, it was a great sermon. And it made me think about things, which was a goal. I'll admit that was a goal. I said to myself, even if I completely fail this, if there's one or two points that people can take away and just think about it some more or rethink the way they're thinking about things, I'm happy with that.
I think it was good that you started by outlining that it was like an overview sermon.
Right.
Rather than, you know, because I think, and then you sort of touched on it at the end being like, you felt like you've covered a lot and not a lot at all.
Yeah, well, that was a problem.
Which I was like, that was sort of the vibe. Like, you did cover a lot, but then it was like, you didn't go deep into anything, which is fine. Because again, you said it was like an intro sermon to the series.
Yeah,
you covered some good points, I reckon.
But from the preacher's perspective, I was like, maybe I could just cover one or two points real deep and then leave it open-ended, like a cliffhanger. And then the following weeks can cover stuff. Mm. But I thought, you know what? No, I do want to land it on something concrete-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I did a good job of that. And that's a whole other thing. I'll write this all up about how I didn't think it was very good. But, you know, No, I didn't think I could. I think it was okay.
Well, it's not all by your own efforts, you know? Like,
no, I get that. I get that. Yeah, but did you listen to the sermon?
I did listen to it. Of course I listened to the sermon.
Hey, fantastic. Thank you. I'm always surprised when people do listen to it. So you listened to the sermon. Anything that stood out to you particularly?
I did listen to the sermon.
Actually, before we get to that, yes. Maybe we should introduce ourselves. That's a good point.
Do you know who we are?
No, that's actually...
It's okay. It's a pilot episode.
It's a pilot. The first.
It's all right. The alpha. No, we're not getting into that. Why don't you introduce yourself first?
Yep. So I'm Zeke. What do I do for work?
I mean, did you used to do and what do you do now?
Oh, yeah, it's true. I am currently a ministry apprentice at church. So basically that's like a... You can call it a pastor in training, or you can call it just someone who works at church, but on a learning basis, like not fully employed. So I'm just there to do 2 years of trying to figure out, you know, what is full-time church work look like, and to test my limits in terms of like how much I can do, I can't do, take hold of some ministries and just try and do this stuff full-time. Used to be a lawyer, a corporate lawyer or commercial lawyer. And so that's a pretty broad spectrum lawyer. And I did that for about 5 years in the city, mid-sized city firm. I had a good time. I do miss a little bit of it, but you know, overall, I'm pretty glad I'm doing this right now as well.
What aspects do you miss?
I think probably the lavishness of of a law firm
life. Like the title?
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that as well. I was just reflecting on this earlier today that like there's a sense of pride in the status of being a lawyer. Mm. Even though people don't really respect lawyers as much these days. It's still like, I was just filling out a form for, you know, enrollment for my son. And it was just like, what's your title or what's your job description or something? And I said, lawyer. Because I could have wrote ministry apprentice, but what does that even mean?
Yeah. Right?
So then the default
thing
was like, it's just easier to write lawyer. But I miss that to an extent. Some things, some of the benefits that confers, you know, like being a high income earner, there was things like I could get a loan really easily.
Mm.
You know, like I didn't have to think about it. And until... I'd spoken to a lot of friends who were like, oh man, it's so much paperwork, you know, to get all this evidence together to try and submit it to the banks. And the reality is that for some people, you know, they have to be on hold or on standstill for 1 or 2 years to get all of their payslips in a good enough spot where banks could go, yep, I accept that. Whereas for me before, I could just go, oh yeah, 2 payslips, easy. There's my income. I don't even need to get my wife's income or pay slips.
Like your sole income
like
is enough.
I could just go and get it. And then you'd get all these corporate benefits, like cheaper car rentals for nothing but just being a lawyer. And I was like, I guess that's the risk element that the banks or the insurance companies are taking. They go, oh, well, he's a high income earner. He'll be fine to pay this even if things go wrong.
Yes, because he'll have money coming in.
He'll have money coming in.
The money will be coming in,
yeah, so there are benefits like that I do miss. But I mean, that's... What is it?
Like you pay for it with other parts of your life, right? Like lawyers grind and they work so much overtime. The expectation to always be on. Well, I'm not a lawyer, but speaking to all my lawyer friends, it just doesn't sound like a desirable life. So then I guess you have like the monetary compensation for like a not so great work-life balance.
And it's a lavishness of a lawyer's life sometimes, well, especially in commercial law that was really attractive as well. So I mean, someone told me the term was the golden handcuffs, right? So it's not just the pay aspect, but even like on Friday afternoons we'd go for lunches and I'd finish that lunch at 8 p.m
wow,
and it's just real like they work real hard but they also party real hard.
Yeah, work hard, party hard.
And you know, there's a very hedonistic vibe to it where it's just drink as much as you want, it's all on the firm's money anyway. So it doesn't matter. It's all for a purpose of taking out a client or something. But I mean, it wasn't a great thing to do every week, but that was just the culture. And it was enjoyable, but it's also very fleeting as well.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I mean, that's me. That was my past. But I'm trying something different this year. But we'll see where it goes. How about you, April? What's your background? What do you do?
My background, so I'm a journalist. I've worked at the ABC for... Got my long service leave.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I've been there for more than 10 years, clearly. And I have worked predominantly in digital news. Right now I'm managing...
What is digital news?
Well, it's like not TV, not radio, like online.
Just online?
Yeah.
All online?
Yeah.
TikToks?
It's like the website, social media, like
Instagrams,
digital.
Anything digital?
Yeah. Correct. Is the broader... Well, for me, in my...
So digital TV is not counted as digital?
No, because it's still TV.
Oh.
Unless it's made specifically for digital. Anyways, tangent. Point is,
yep.
Right now I'm managing the news TikTok team. And I guess the most common reaction I get to that is either, oh, I didn't know that existed. I've had people laugh at me. But I think I would hope more out of like shock than like...
What else are you going to laugh at?
I don't know.
The illegitimacy of TikTok as a news
maybe,
medium.
Who knows?
Right.
I mean, look, I get more respect from like my Sunday school kids for like that job title. But that's sort of the point. That's who we're trying to reach, like younger people. So...
I'm trying to reach Sunday school kids for your
well, news. I mean, people on TikTok, so like the youth. I hate saying the youth. It makes me sound old.
What do you reckon a youth age range is?
I reckon under 35. Officially, I would say youth is more under 24. 18 to 24, I would say, is like youth.
Right.
Including high school, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But as a broader demographic, young people,
yep.
In the news sense,
right.
18 to 35.
I see.
You're still young.
I'm still young.
Still young.
Yeah. I do get some of my news through Instagram, but I don't quite like how it comes through.
But you're not the target audience.
You just said I was.
But you're not like a native. Well, I mean, our age group is, but you aren't specifically.
Thank you.
If you know Zeke, you know how he uses Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
In that he doesn't.
I don't really. I was just going to say, I enjoy the ABC news on my Instagram when it's in text form. Like it's a picture with text as opposed to someone
speaking.
Whatever
works for you. As opposed to someone speaking. Okay.
Anyway, so that's a bit about us. That's who we are, mm-hmm. What we do day to day. But yeah, I suppose, yeah, we started this series on work and basically it's just everyone does it. And I thought, what were your thoughts from the sermon? Was one thing that stood out to you?
I think one thing that stood out to me was, I think when we think about work, we think about our careers.
Right.
I think when you say work, that's the first thing that would pop up into most people's
heads.
That's
true. We just introduce ourselves in that way as
exactly.
Well.
Like we just told everyone our career and like our jobs.
Man. It's automatic.
But work is so much more than that.
Yep.
So much more than that.
Right.
You wouldn't say a stay-at-home mum has no work. She has so much work.
You wouldn't say that. Yep.
No, you wouldn't say that. Yeah.
Yet it wouldn't be the thing that...
Yeah. Culturally and like socially...
Yeah.
She has no job per se.
Yeah.
But she has a massive job and like a very busy job.
Yeah.
So I think just that like mind shift of the definition of work was...
Something to think about.
A good takeaway to head into this series.
Yeah. So everything we do is work.
Correct.
And it's just like, if we're thinking about, oh, it's not how am I going to be more godly at work, i.e. at paid work. It's how am I going to be more godly in all areas of my life, which is all work.
Yes.
So if we see it that way, then it's, yeah, we think of it just from a broader perspective. Right. And what do you reckon that looks like for you, though? Because when you go to work each day, do you think there's an aspect of compartmentalizing your work life, your home life, your, I don't know, church life? Like, would you... Yeah, I know you're in a secular place, especially the ABC and stuff, where, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but
yeah.
You're a journalist, you're at the ABC, and you're not allowed to talk about stuff, right? But is that just the way, and you just accept that, don't think anything more of it, I go to work and work, that's it?
I think I separate it more because of I want that separation, and because I work from home,
okay,
which is for context for people listening. I find that I need to separate it. Otherwise, because I don't like physically leave an office most days, like I'm just at home. I just like shut down the computer.
Right.
I find that like I sort of do compartmentalize it more for like mental health reasons to just, this is my work life. And like, I will stop work life when I enter home life and then I'll stop home life when I enter work life. So I think that's how I separate it. Like, I don't think it's consciously for any other reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah. How about you? Like, did you do the same back when you were a lawyer?
I think there's certain aspects of the job itself that I just couldn't, like, I just wouldn't have anything to do with God in those things. Like, filling out a form. There is no involvement.
It's very like admin.
Yeah. There's nothing there for me to be like, oh, am I filling this out in the right way or something? Or in the most godly way. Like that doesn't come in. I get that. I always thought of being godly in the workplace as like having more intentional conversations with my colleagues.
Mm.
And the other thing I also thought was how I did my job was quite important, in that if I slacked off or whatever, then it didn't necessarily look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
But at the same time, I'm not sure if that's just quite a limiting view of what it means to be godly in the workplace. Because I feel like there's probably more to it than that. On occasion, I'd have good conversations that, I think maybe the base thing I started with was I want people to know I'm Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's set a low bar. And, you know, that might be things like, oh, what did you do on the weekend? I went to church. But that goes by pretty quickly.
Mm.
Like, I think by and large, people are pretty accepting of Christians in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Mostly. Yeah. No?
Well, I think it depends on your workplace.
Right.
Like, I think if you were, say you work at a Christian school, like, yes, very accepting of Christians.
Yeah.
In that
Yet it might not even be that, like, godly how no, people exactly. are acting in that Christian yes. workplace.
But outwardly, like, you're Christian, great. Like, as yeah. in, like, no sure. dramas, no worries.
Yeah.
I think for my workplace, and I'm sure some other workplaces, well, I think more specifically to my workplace, we're expected to be quite objective. And some people might have different opinions on that, depending on who you ask.
Mm.
But we are expected to, yeah, be objective in our reporting and our storytelling. And that sort of reflects itself in the way that we relate to each other, I think, especially in my workplace. Like, there's no real, like, we'll share our, like, personal yep. lives, like, we'll share our thoughts on things. But, like, in terms of our views on big things, we sort of keep that to ourselves to an extent.
Even just generally when you're chatting to your friends, are you like that as well?
Yeah, as in, we just don't bring that sort of stuff up.
Have you ever?
Like, it's very casual stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And I think in my context, I'm the manager of the team as well. So then it's
you got the boss. You got the boss.
There's
lady.
That weird power dynamic thing of, like, I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, it's.
Do you think there's a wall that you have to, like, put up in terms of, like, your personal stuff that you can share at work because you're the boss?
Yes and no. Like, I think my team's pretty open about a lot of stuff. But yeah, definitely there's, like, a sort of, like, personal barrier that you put up. To just be like, you know, there is a separation. Like, we're friends, but, like, at the end of the day, like, I am, like, if something happens, like, I need to be the manager.
Right, right.
And so, like, you do have to have some sort of separation between
sure.
the two, yeah.
Mm.
So that, but that's my own personal specific context. Yep. I'm sure, like, yeah, there's various scenarios that people are experiencing right now.
Yeah, that's interesting, hey, because, I mean... Yeah, I mean, this one time I had this conversation with my boss, I suppose, and he knew I was a Christian. And I think we just finished that court and we were having lunch and he said to me, he's like, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes. And then he just said, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, gee, all right. Like, I thought.
Getting straight to it.
Yeah, I was like, and that, I mean, that's probably one thing about lawyers that they're pretty good at getting to the point. They don't beat around the bush too much. So I just straight up sort of told my version of two ways to live. And he actually said back to me, he's like, so you're saying that I'm going to hell? And I was like, oh man, why are you going to do me like this?
Why are you going to do me down?
And I was like, yeah, I mean, according to what I believe, yeah, you would go to hell. And I was like, but I would too if I didn't believe that, you know, Jesus saved me and blah blah blah, that I'd too. But I don't know where he's at with that sort of stuff these days. But I thought it was just interesting. Maybe not everyone gets to...
That's interesting.
Not everyone gets to have those conversations.
No. And I wonder what prompted him to say it.
Exactly. Because you never know what's going on in their...
In their lives. In their personal lives. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I think it was the fact that... Oh, I remember now. He had a young daughter.
Mm.
And so this guy was separated from his wife. And his wife, ex-wife, was taking his daughter to church, I think.
Oh.
And he was like, what is this? What is going on here? Why is she doing that?
Yeah, right.
So it was a bit of a weird thing.
There you go.
But yeah, he just brought that up. So you never know.
You never know.
But I think the point is that, I don't know, like, I'm not quite sure how we actually navigate that at work.
Mm.
And likewise, I mean, going on to that as well, then our personal lives, like, even how much, like, godly stuff am I doing in my personal life as well? Like, do I just go to church? And then after church is done, after all of ministry is done, do I just go home? live my life? How do I incorporate all of that godliness, that good stuff, into just my everyday life?
I find for me, what I've been trying to do is, it's not just in the things I do, right? But it's like in what I think and how I feel about things. Because like that is constant.
How do you generally think and feel about things? Can you describe it?
Can I describe it?
Yeah.
I think I'm a very judgmental person, which you might not know about
really?
Me. But I think
I wouldn't know about, I wouldn't know that about you, that you're a judgmental person.
Really? No, you would.
No, so I'm questioning that you think I wouldn't know that about
you. No, but I think you would know. I'm saying in general, like when most people know that I'm a judgmental person.
Okay, all right.
Just like very quick to judge, very like... putting down people like in my brain, obviously not saying it out loud, and just trying to like change that to give people some grace, even if it's like in my head, to be like, look, there's several reasons why like this could have happened, or like they're acting like that.
So you're doing that internally. You're going, all right, I've just judged, you know, Eric for doing this. And then
Eric's my husband, by the way.
Doesn't matter if it is, you know, like, so you've just judged Eric for doing something. And then you're like, no, hold up. Maybe he needed to go to the toilet really badly. So that's why
yes,
he was impatient.
Yes, there's like many reasons people that's are motivated how, to do something.
Anyone that cuts me off in traffic, I just go, you know what?
This is true.
Maybe he really needs to go to the toilet. Like, it's,
you know what I think?
Because you're, when you're rushing to go home to go to the toilet.
I'm always like, maybe they're in labor. Like, I'm always like,
but
who
the chance
knows?
Of
you
someone,
never know though.
The chance of someone going being in labor and rushing to the hospital but because you, of versus... them having to go toilet, or in Cantonese, scupsy, you know, like.
But the point is, you never know. Like, you never know what people are going on
know.
In people's lives.
You never know.
Yes.
Yep. That's true. So that's your approach to giving people the benefit of the doubt more.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Sorry. Yep.
Because I find that, like, I think it's more when you're just doing stuff, that's just actions sure. rather than, like, I think, you know, we talk about, like, head change and heart change.
Sure.
Like, is
sure.
it really a... heart change if you're just doing stuff, but like the way that your brain is thinking or like the way that you feel towards things hasn't changed at all. So that's what I've personally been trying to, it's a very long process and I definitely am not at the...
Is that a recent thing that you've been thinking about this?
Recent in that it's been a few years, like very gradual.
That's all right.
I will put like, just want to make that clear. So... But I think things like this, like genuine change, doesn't really happen overnight. Well, for most things anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
Just work in progress.
Less judgmental. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the phrase I'm looking for. Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I don't really understand how that phrase comes about. Benefit of the doubt.
Benefit.
So you're
doubting. Of me doubting my quick judgment.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the benefit of... my anyway
then what do you do, do you pull yourself back when you have
it's definitely
like
still,
how does it work?
My first reaction is definitely still the judgment. And then I sort of catch myself sometimes be like, wait a minute, calm down. Sometimes it's like an external catching,
sure.
So like, for example, Eric knows that I'm very judgmental because you know, like if you have a partner, you sort of complain the most to them,
right,
or like you're the most yourself and open about your feelings about everything to them. So he'll catch me and be like, why are you so judgmental?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a good point, fair enough.
Yeah.
So I think also being accountable to like someone else helps.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Do you reckon like over your marriage, now we're reaching into the marriage sort of area, but that's okay. Do you reckon like it's a thing for every couple to sort of like equalize? Like if you're here, I'm not saying this is low, nor is this high, but just imagine for those who are listening and not watching this is that I've got my hands in a high and low
one
position.
Higher, yeah.
That it sort of goes to the middle like a cease. Like, you know, you become more like that person, that person becomes more like you. Because I've found with me and Trish, my wife, we've switched places. Like, you know, like... And she may agree or disagree. I think she should agree. But yeah, who I used to be, she's so much like now. And I'm like, man, I'm like living with myself from 5 years ago. And then she's living. Well, I wouldn't say I'm as good as who she was 5 years ago. But I just, I don't know. I feel like I'm less quick to judge or like.
I think in a healthy relationship, you will want to change for the other person. Not that they're forcibly. deeply changing you per se, but to just round off this quick marriage tangent, yeah, I would say that you should be changing in good ways for the other person.
You should.
This is very tricky. Well, what if you take it in the bad way?
What if you give into the bad? You take on the bad things or the. It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
It will happen. It will just happen.
Yeah, because you're living with each other like 24/7.
You get people look more like each other over time as well. I feel like I look at couples' photos now and I'm like, man, they look so similar. Like,
but maybe by look you mean like their pose or their like smile. Because then they see the other person. So I don't know. Maybe it's just like a subconscious mirroring. Yeah. Now I'm going to look at everyone's couple photos.
You're going to see they look kind of similar. Or the way I almost said judge them,
but I'm not going to judge them.
No, I'm not judging. You're observing. And that's this is one of those things that I would talk about at the food court where we have zero knowledge. Zero
just like...
subject matter expertise in this. But I reckon it's true. I reckon there's a scientific thing where people who spend time together... over time, their faces just become the average of each other.
Sounds legit.
Because they say that you become the average of the like five people that you spend the most time with.
Really?
So why not physically as well?
If it turned out to be true, I wouldn't be that surprised.
That's the most agreeable you've been to my statements.
All night.
We said at the same time. So I think
we're onto something.
I think we are onto something. Wow. All right, let's just dive back to work. Yeah. I don't even know where we went after all of that.
I don't know either.
Like, we can try backtrack. No.
No, I think it's too hard. We'll just...
I have no idea.
No.
Oh, I remember now. We were talking about whether you compartmentalize work from your home life. And yeah, because something I was also thinking about was, should I like read the Bible to my son more? Like, he's only one and a bit, so he doesn't really... understand a lot of that stuff yet. However, am I displaying qualities of being a Christian or like Christ to him in things that I do, or yeah, even like the Bible, the stories I choose to read to him. Like his current one is one called Bananas, One Banana, Two Banana. Have you ever heard that one?
No.
One Banana, Two Bananas, Three Bananas, Four something, Llama Pajamas. No. And they start riding llamas and they're getting chased by monkeys.
Is this a popular book?
Yeah, you should get it. You should get it one day. It's like a Dr. Seuss book where it's like it rhymes really well. And just there's a good rhythm to those books. Anyway, so that's he's really into that right now. But I'm like, I wonder if there's any Christian like, I don't know,
kids books
that are
there's heaps.
Rhyming,
I'm sure there are.
And fun, and yeah, maybe I should explore that. But yeah, I mean, point is that, am I doing things in my life that are also Christian? And like, it should always be like that. Or does it just become this thing that we're always just doing? Or like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what it means to live the Christian life in all the work that we do. So work at home or work at work or work at, you know, church and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah, what's that look like? It'd be cool to see what a real, like, solid Christian dude does in his life every day and how different that looks to...
our lives.
Me or you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're just...
So really, work is just our lives. Because you could argue that everything we do is a form of work.
That's fair. Yes, that's true.
So it's really, we're just talking about the way we live our lives.
And maybe that's what it is.
Mm.
Maybe that's all it is.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Something to dwell on.
Yeah, that's definitely something interesting. Anyway, I think it's almost time for us to wrap this up.
Oh, no.
Pretty much. In the last 7 minutes, you can tell me, because one of the points from the sermon was you should use your talents or, you know, whatever gifts you have to do your work. And what I meant by that, which I didn't really explain too much in the sermon, which I thought was quite unfortunate, I didn't do a better job of, was that not necessarily like if you're good at dancing or you're good at like, you know, like some things, they can be hobbies that you don't necessarily have to always make a job out of something that you're good at doing. But say you're very friendly with people, or say you're very... you're good at getting people together. That's something that you can do in any job, you know. Whether you're an assembly line worker, you work in a factory, you can still be friendly with your coworkers during lunch times or whatever. Like, you don't have to always be like, oh, if I'm a friendly guy, how can I be friendly while I'm fixing a road? Well, you can't, but there are opportunities where you can do to use that, right? So I think, April, what is your talent, or what are some of the gifts you reckon you have just generally?
See, I'm going to answer this, but then I want you to answer for
me. Okay, that's okay.
Because I feel like I have my own ideas of what I think I'm talented in quotation
that's
marks.
That's okay.
And then I'm curious to see what other people think are my talents.
All right, okay.
So, this is weird because I don't love talking myself up, but I think one of my talents is creativity. Like, I've always loved, I guess, thinking outside the box or like doing things differently. Like, I don't think I'm the type of person who could be an accountant and just do the same thing over and over. Like, there's no real creativity in that.
Okay, yep.
Like, I need...
Not variability, creativity.
Yes.
Okay.
Creativity. I need like...
Some element of actually
some element of problem solving or just like variety and difference every day.
Yep.
So I think that's one of them. I think I'm a quite, I mean, I hope I'm a quite a friendly person. Easy to get along with. Why are you, okay, if you're listening, Zeke just gave me the weirdest smile. Gosh.
Are you really friendly? I think, I hope so. I can agree with that. I think people can get alongside you very quickly.
Yes. Or I think I can, not that I can warm up to someone quickly, but like if I'm meeting someone for the first time, like we could get something going.
What's that called? What's that phrase called? It's not being friendly. I was trying to write this down earlier today, but I couldn't remember what the phrase was called.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
It's not cutting someone. It's something to do with like getting through their armor. It's that sort of language, but I cannot remember for the life
breaking
of me.
Breaking down the... We'll get there.
De-armoring them.
De-armoring chance.
But it's something like that, I think.
Yeah, right.
I could be completely wrong. It's like saying, I know that word starts
breaking
with F.
Breaking down their barriers, like...
No. It's F. Like, no. You know when you say, oh, I swear that word starts with F, but then it actually but then starts
it's
with
like,
D?
Yeah, it's like a totally different word.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So you, I think... No, I agree. I think you do that well. I think you disarm. Ah, oh, disarm.
Ah, armor, there disarm. We go. It was D.
So you can disarm. I think you disarm people pretty well.
Yeah.
I think with your personality and the way you you get alongside them and you find a point of common sort of thing and you
I think I'm also a good public speaker.
Fair.
Which I think I take for granted a lot because I get asked to be an MC so often.
Right.
And I don't understand like what's so hard about the role. And you do too. Like we both get asked to be MCs. Oh, never together though.
Never.
Never together. We've never MC'd together, which is a bit of a shame.
Anyways, I think I've brought you on stage before.
You have.
But I've never.
It was a weird side dance thing.
Yeah. In hindsight, I probably wouldn't have done that again. But I was, it was one of my first few times doing it and I was ambitious.
You were very ambitious.
I was inspired.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway.
Point being, like I don't have an issue with it because I don't have a problem with public speaking.
Yep, sure.
But I can understand how, like, some people, maybe even most people, would find that intimidating.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, sure. Like, all I have to do is get up.
No problem.
Grab the mic, say a few things, like, keep things going. No big deal.
That is so true. That is so true.
So.
Can't take that for granted.
Yeah.
That's true. Yep.
I would say those are my three. But what do you think are mine? And then what are yours?
I agree. I think those are some solid ones. There's going to be other ones, for sure. But, no, I think, public speaking, you're disarming of people. And what was your first one? I can't remember. Oh, you
creativity.
Said creativity. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that is definitely some of your strengths. Yeah. What else are you good at? I'll have to think about that.
No pressure.
No, that's fine. We'll come to it in the following.
Yeah, we'll get back to this next
episode. But I think how you, things like that is how do you use that stuff generally, like in all of your life, right? And when we don't get to use the stuff that we're good at, I think it's quite depressing.
Yeah.
In not the clinical way, but just it's very sad that we don't get to do that. And it feels sad, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you didn't get to be creative and you're someone who's like drawing every day, you're always like sketching, even in your mind or whatever, you're always thinking in that way. And you're confined to a job or a task that you can't do, then that's really tough. So I think that's the element of if you can use those things and it's, you know, you do better. You do better. Maybe we think about that a bit more. Yeah, because I'm the same. I think public speaking is a one that's more natural for me. And I was thinking like even back in my old career as a lawyer, like if I wanted to be a public speaker, I'd have to wait years and years of have way more experience before I'm allowed to get into those sort of roles.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, being here at church, I get to do that a lot more. And I actually feel more in my zone and I really enjoy that. And yeah, I did take it for granted because I was like, yeah, anyone can just get up and just grab the mic.
That's what I mean. And that's what I thought.
Of course, why not? But people get really nervous about that stuff. Yes. Like they have all these thoughts of, oh, like people are going to judge me and this and that. And yeah, I mean, that's true. People do judge us, but I don't know. Maybe we get over it very quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how we think.
That's
how,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I get that. Generally, I like learning about things a lot. So I think that I also take that for granted because I like to learn little bits of everything. And I don't like to go too deep, but I just like it gives me a thrill to learn more about anything. So I think that sort of leads to my next skill, which is that I try and get the most out of a team because based on people's skills, unique skills, right? So say if you're like this, like you have gifts of public speaking or someone else is very good at doing, you know, like background work, admin work or something like that. I would love to leverage these people at their best because that makes me feel good that I can do that.
Right.
Whereas not everyone thinks about it like that, but yeah, that's what I've realized when I've managed teams in the past where I'm like, when I can hone in on these people and get them to do their best, doing what they're best at, then that makes me happy. But on the flip side, I'm not very good at getting them to, if they don't know what they're good at, I'm not necessarily very good at drawing that out of them either.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean.
So if they know.
Yeah, or if I can see it, like in something they've done, I'll be like, hey, you should do that, yeah.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I really need to have seen it. I can't like imagine what they might be good at because I'm not a very imaginative person. So my creativity levels are very low.
I guess that's where all those like personality tests come in and that's why they're so popular because it helps, well, purports to help people like understand themselves more.
Yeah.
I recently did a leadership course just as a quick sidetrack.
Which one?
Just an internal one.
Oh, okay, right.
And we just went through, and you've probably heard of it, like the DISC personality profiles.
Yeah.
Which I find was, for me, quite interesting. Right. So it's DISC, and it's essentially a way to understand specifically your working style, not like your personality,
right.
but the way you work. So D being more dominant.
Sure.
I being more intuitive.
Right.
S, sensitive. Someone's going to correct me. I'm sure I'm getting the things wrong, but D essentially you're like
you're dominant,
you're very success driven, like goal driven, that sort of personality. I you're very like people driven, like you want to please everyone, that's sort of like the general vibe of I. S is more like the caring profile, so you care about how people feel or how they're going
because it's sensitive, right?
Sensitive. And C I think is conscientious, but I'm
not caring.
It's not caring. So C is more analytical, looking at the stats. Right. Like, how does this...
Okay, right.
Someone please correct me. I'm sure I got...
Maybe you're correct.
I think I got the vibes correct, but...
Maybe you're C for correct.
Yeah. So anyways, I found that really interesting in terms of like understanding.
So what were you?
I was, according to the quiz, I got S.
Sensitive?
Yeah. As a manager, yeah. I mean, I hope so. Why are you so surprised?
I don't know. S for surprised.
Yeah, S for surprised. S for shocked.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap that up there. I think we can keep chatting about this afterwards or whatever. But yeah, anyway, that's our that's our first 40 minutes or 50, whatever it 40-ish. Ended up being. Yeah, so anyway, I think that's it.
Cool.
Hope to see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.